Over Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. They went to the tomb fully intending to anoint a dead body. That's what they went to do that Sunday morning. And you know what happened? We found out this morning with the kids when God gave me the box this morning with the thing inside, which was nothing. When they went to the tomb, they found nothing. Jesus was gone. Oh, they found something. The stone that was rolled away, they saw the empty cloths, grave cloths there, but there was no body. The body that they had intended to come and anoint was gone. As you read the gospel accounts of those last few days, there was a lot of things that happened that indicate to us something big went on. There was the Good Friday earthquake. There was the torn temple curtain. And of course, that representing that we had access to the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. We didn't have to go through like the priest in the Holy of Holies. We had direct access to God now through Jesus Christ. Direct access to God through Jesus Christ. Now, isn't that cool? You and I have direct access to the Creator of the universe through Jesus Christ. I'm not worthy of that, and neither are you, but that's awesome. There was the tomb earthquake. You know, there was two earthquakes in those 3 days. There was the tomb earthquake that shook. The stone was rolled away. The dead was raised. And there was the darkness that came over the earth too during that 3-day period. All these things happened. These were unusual circumstances. And anyone who would have been observing what's going on should have known something supernatural was going on here. It wasn't just a natural thing. It wasn't just Jesus and his disciples, something just went awry. This was something extremely major that was going on. Let alone the agony of losing their Savior during those 3 days. But the devil had to have known that what was going on here was something strange too. I wonder if he was left scratching his head, wondering what indeed is going on here. Did the devil hear what Jesus had said to his disciples previous? He said to them before this that I'm going to die, but I'm going to raise again. Now, the disciples were thinking of other things at the time, and I don't think they fully grasped what he said until after it happened. They're like, didn't he tell us that? Didn't he tell us that? But I mean, folks, how many of you have experienced someone raising from the dead? Yeah, I mean, think about it. Someone tells you something like that, you're like, yeah, right. Right. Satan's perspective. He thought he'd won. All of creation was now his. In Matthew 4, verses 5 through 7, talking about that temptation to give Jesus all the earthly kingdom. You know, this was all his, and Jesus was out of the way. And then we go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where it says this serpent struck his heel, but he crushed his head. I always like those kind of stories, you know? It's like when you're behind and all of a sudden you win. And it looked like this was bad news, but no, it became good news, just like we call it Good Friday because we know what happened on Sunday. You can't call it really Good Friday unless you know what happened on Sunday, right? So it's Good Friday because we know what happened on Sunday. And the two events together made it all complete. Satan's perspective. He thought he'd won. The enemy had been crushed. God oopsed. No, he did not. This was in the plan, as I just said, in Genesis chapter 3:15. That, in a sense, is a reference to what was going to happen many, 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 many years later. What about the others? Not just Satan's perspective, but what about the others? The guards, they were manning their posts there at the tomb. They knew this dude was dead. It had been an intense couple of days. I can imagine what they were talking about as they were guarding the tomb. They were probably talking about Friday's events. They probably might have even been saying some things like, remember what he said when he was on the cross? You know, this guy was probably not so bad after all. Did you hear the thief on the cross that was talking to him and the other one that was mocking him? Did you hear that comment? I can imagine the kinds of conversations that would be taking place around that tomb, because otherwise it'd be very boring just guarding a tomb with a dead man. Not much going on there. Surely they probably mocked him too. Did you see that sign on the cross that said King of the Jews? What good is a dead king? Those Christians, they were fooled. They were fooled. They were fooled. And then it happened. Oh, I love this part. And then it happened. You know, we were the losers for a while. From Friday through Sunday early morning, we were losers. I'm talking to the disciples. We were losers. And then it happened. Oh, the earthquake. And the guards were like dead men when all this happened. They were so afraid. The angel said to the women who had come to the tomb, who were ready to anoint a dead body, "He's not here." The dead men, no, not the dead men, but those that were like dead men, after they realized what had happened, they're like, uh-oh, we're in trouble. Because what were they supposed to do? Guard the tomb. We are in trouble. So we got to fabricate a story. You heard the story. We got to fabricate a story. We've got to fabricate a story so that we can cover our butts here. So someone came and stole this Jesus. Others went along with it. Verses 11 through 15, we read about it there this morning. And it says, even in the text to this day, that was a widely circulated story. Now, Satan knew he was the loser. Now, Satan realized he was winning the game. And at the last minute, something changed. The women came and they witnessed what was going on. They didn't really know how to piece it together. They actually did end up seeing the risen Lord. And they still, I think, were in awe, thinking, what's going on here? And they went back and they told the disciples. And the disciples still were wondering, what were these ladies on? What's going on here? This story is rather hard to believe. But yet maybe there might have been a couple of them saying, but yeah, but now I remember Jesus told us something like this could have happened. And I'm wondering. They said he is risen. Satan's now the loser. The believers are now the winners. The believers acted like losers for those 3 days, but now they're winners. We are not winners because of what we did, though. Remember that. We became winners because of what he did. Outside of Jesus, I'm still a loser. But in Christ, we're winners. And nothing in life can take that away from you. Jesus, the Son of God, came to earth. Jesus, the Son of God, came to earth, fully God, fully human. He died on the cross, and he rose again that we could have eternal life, and we could have the forgiveness of sins. There was no one that could die for us because everybody else was imperfect, but he was the perfect Son of God, perfect, unblemished Son of God. He paid the ultimate price. He was, as the Old Testament said, he was the unblemished lamb. Because that's what you were supposed to sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. And when you were making a sacrifice, it needed to be an unblemished lamb. Now, none of us are unblemished lambs. We've all fallen. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But there was only one. There was one, the Lamb of God, that was unblemished, and he died for our sins. And nothing in life can take that away from us. You may feel like you are losing, or you may feel like you have lost, but I want to tell you something this morning. No matter what you feel like, in Christ, you have won. In Christ, you have won. Life might still be tough. Crappy things may still happen, but But you have won because he won for you. You know, in the New Testament, Jesus doesn't deal in funerals. He deals in resurrections. You notice that? Jesus doesn't deal in funerals. He deals in resurrections. He was late for all the funerals he was supposed to be at because they were only temporary. They were only temporary. I don't think you and I understand just how great our God is. I don't think you and I understand just how great our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. Sometimes we treat him as just a story. Someone who is perhaps a little better than we are. Jesus is the Son of God. In fact, in the Bible, he is given so many titles and so many names, and it's still insufficient to describe who he is. There are a bunch of them. A bunch of them. And even with all those names, it doesn't yet fully describe who Jesus is. I'm going to do something this morning. I told Loretta I wasn't sure I was going to do this, but I'm going to do it. I've done this before. I don't think I've ever done it on Easter. I'm going to have her play a song. It's familiar to you in the hymnal. It's 102. There's something about that name. And I want to share with you all these names and titles that were given to Jesus Christ. I'm going to list them to you. And I want you to hear each and every one of them. He's got a lot of names. You and I might have a nickname or two or three. He's got about, I think, I don't know, 70, 80, whatever it is. Here they are. Would you start that? Just play it kind of quietly, and I'm going to listen to these. I'm going to list these for us this morning. He was called the first Adam, the Advocate, the Almighty, Alpha and Omega, the Amen, the Apostle of our profession, the Arm of the Lord, the Author and Perfecter of our faith. He was called the Source of Eternal Salvation, the Ruler of God's Creation, Beloved Son, Blessed and Only Ruler, the Branch, the Bread of Life, the Author of Salvation, the Chief Shepherd, the Christ of God, the Consolation of Israel, the Capstone, Counselor, Creator, the Rising Sun, the Deliverer, the Desire of All Nations, the Gate, the Chosen of God, Everlasting Father, Faithful Witness, First and Last, Firstborn, Forerunner, Glory of the Lord. He was called God. God Praised, Good Shepherd, Ruler, Great High Priest, Head of the Church, Heir of All Things, Holy Child, Holy One. I'm not even halfway through. The Holy One of God, the Holy One of Israel, the Horn of Salvation, the Great I Am, the Image of God, Emmanuel, Jehovah, Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, Judge of Israel, Righteous One, King, King Eternal, King of the Jews, King of Kings, King of the Ages, Lawgiver, Lamb, Lamb of God, Leader, Life, Light of the World, Lion of the Tribe of Judah, Lord of All, Lord of Glory, Lord of Lords, Lord our Righteousness, Man of Sorrows, Mediator, Messenger of the Covenant, Messiah, Anointed One, Mighty God, Mighty One, Morning Star, Nazarene, Only Begotten Son, our Passover, Ruler of Kings, Author of Life, Prince of Peace, Prophet, Redeemer, Resurrection and Life, Rock, the Root of David, the Rose of Sharon, Savior, Offspring of Woman, Shepherd and Overseer of our souls, Shiloh, the Son of the Blessed One, the Son of David, the Son of God, the Son of the Most High, the Son of Man, the Son of Righteousness, True Light, True Vine, Truth, Witness, the Word of God. All these names were names for Christ, for Jesus. Trying to describe just how wonderful and awesome he is. And even all those words aren't sufficient, are they? Folks, I hope you realize this morning as we close our time in the service just how awesome our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ is, and just how intimate he wants to be with you and with me. He wants a relationship. It's not a religion. I have a shirt that I wear sometimes. It says it's not a religion, it's a relationship. It's a personal relationship with that one who loves you so much. He died on the cross and rose again for you. And there's nothing that you could do that's so bad that you could fall outside of his love. He'll forgive you. Look at Paul. He wanted the Christians dead. Look at the thief on the cross. They didn't even have a chance to do the thing that would make it right with God. He just said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Look at David. Not me. I mean, look at me too, I suppose. I've got problems. But David had problems. He was an adulterer and a murderer. And yet later he's called a man after God's own heart. See, folks, there's none of you that can fall outside of God's grace and love. But you got to say yes. You got to say yes to Jesus. Not just think about it, but say yes. And if you want to say yes this morning, I encourage you to do that. And if you're not sure what that means or how to do that, I would encourage you after the service this morning, come on up and talk to me, and I'd love to share with you what that means. Say yes to Jesus. Let's close our time together, if you would, turning to hymn number 220, also up on the screen.